Om Shanti. How many are doing language? How many have translation? Can you please raise your hands? Because I have to speak a little slower, right? Okay, so I have to be reminded of that. Okay. When I came to the Brahma Kumaris, the very reason I came to the Brahma Kumaris is because I'm having problems. Okay? That means to say I love my work, I love the things I do, but I'm getting tired of it. That means I'm losing my energy, I'm losing my confidence, and I said I need some help. Okay? And that was the time when the Brahma Kumaris came and said, okay. And at that time, that was almost like 35 years ago. I don't know, some of you might be quite young, but that was also the time, actually, when they are talking about the aspect of, in a way, mindfulness. How many of you you were searching for something that could help you develop a better personality, went into mindfulness? That was the key word at that time. Well, I am actually a Beatle fan when I was growing up. And they talk about going out of the Western culture to go to the East and discover mindfulness. So what's mindfulness? Everyone wants to be... How many of you went into mindfulness before you came to Brahma Kumaris Raj Yoga Meditation? Okay? So what is mindfulness at that time? Well, the word that was then, be in the present time. Okay? So, relax, let go, be in the present, enjoy the moment. Every moment is something to enjoy. And because there was a yearning to actually to become internalized and be able to check, am I in tune with the external? I was working then in a training institution. And that was also the time mindfulness is being introduced. But as I practiced mindfulness, I became very tired of my work. And I said, this is not right. Mindfulness is supposed to take care of yourself. How come I'm beginning to be stressed? Okay. And so that was the time when I made a decision to really learn mindfulness. It's quite different from Raj Yoga, because if you think about it, what is the name of Raj Yoga? What is really the direct translation? It's actually what? Self-sovereignty. Right? Self-sovereignty. Is it right? Self-sovereignty. Being the ruler and the master of yourself. What do we then have to master? Okay? What do we have to master? Well, mindfulness, start mastering breath, okay? Their food intake, most of them became vegetarian. Their breath, to be able to go into the silence of the mind, and all of these things, right? So it's, and yet, it lacks the depth of what do we have to be in control of, and the ability to be able to manage our inner dynamics. That's what's lacking, you know? The reason why they go against what society is doing so that they can become more peaceful. You know? Leave your work. Go somewhere where you can actually begin to pay attention to yourself. And yet, they can reach a certain point in their life to be able to relax. But one thing about it is, they went against everything about the present society. You know, they become the rebels of the present time. They become useless in a way. Okay, which I don't think is really the right thing to do. And that was the time when I said, no, I don't like this. I want to still be in society and at the same time be able to be self-sovereign, the ruler of the self. And I think that's what the question is. What are the aspects in our life that we'll have to rule? Before I can even move out to help others, not to rule anyone, but to help them look of self-rule, self-sovereign. Okay? I think most of us now, knowing that we are now BK, whether you are only those who are Paka BK are actually here in allowed to come to Madhuban, right? So I'm assuming that all of you have a certain level of self-sovereignty. Is that right? Right assumption? Yes? No? Or else you're not going to be here, right? You'll be waiting for another 2 years to come. So what is it about me? If I talk about it, when we talk about self-sovereignty, it actually talks about caring for a certain aspect of the self. Without us knowing it, we are taught how to take care of those aspects of ourselves. So guess what? Even in psychology or even in training, we talk about a well-rounded personality. And it actually talks about three kinds of dimensions. So dimensions of well-being. One is physical aspect. Okay? So when you come to Baba, that is very obvious. You have to turn vegetarian, right? Right? You have to be very clean. Right? And usually some of us, particularly during winter time, if you're coming from a foreign land, you don't have to take a bath if you don't like it. It's too cold, right? I'm from the tropics. I take a bath twice a day or even three times during the summer. But physically, you have to control over your breath, your movement. You have to be physically healthy, right? And that's how we begin to understand physical well-being. Okay, because when I am not physically well, what happens? Can you think well? Can you interact well? No, right? You don't want to do anything, right? So a lot of the things in the beginning, in the late 70s and the early 80s, a lot of them is focused on being able to address my physical health. So they become vegetarian, they started exercising, you know, they started doing things, thinking that if you control your body, you can control your mind. I'm not sure of that, okay? So what happens, then they begin to say, okay, mindfulness, be in the present. Be in the present, okay? What do you mean by be in the present? There are two words which I think be in the present and create your presence is actually what we learn from Baba. And so when you talk about well-being, the aspect of physical is there. I never thought I'll be a vegetarian. But when I found something that being vegetarian actually controls the aspect of your emotional well-being or even your mental well-being, I begin to understand, yeah, I am actually... You talk about it and a wholeness of my own personality. Only then will you begin to think in terms of the spiritual. So I'd like to explore the aspect of self-care because that is what I think Baba is teaching us, is to care for ourselves before we can even care for other people. In fact, as we care for ourselves, we become effective with the people around us. Unlike other people, they say, okay, self-care means sacrifice yourself. Right? I grew up a Christian, so they said, you have to keep on giving until it hurts. How many of you are Christians here? No? No one is Christian here? Particularly Catholics. Okay? I grew up in a Catholic school, Catholic university. There's a saying, give until it hurts. What I learned from the Brahma Kumaris is the opposite of that. Okay? You enjoy, then you can give more. And it's a big change in my life, in a way. So So I think it's a very important aspect that that actually when we point our fingers, three fingers is an ear, right? Do it. And very often, we point to people and say, you do it. Okay, you do it. Every time you point a finger, three of those fingers is an you. Be nice to me. No, you have to be three times nicer to yourself. Right? Very good. Everyone did like that. Okay? Like this. Point the gun. One is actually what? Going up. But three fingers on you. Everything you want to do for yourself, you have to do it three times. No one is responsible for you. The other one is pointing up there, right? So three times I have to be responsible. Only God will be responsible for me. And then that's the only time you can see. Okay, then people begin to care. Not physically. Begin to care for your presence. You become important to them. Or else you become a burden. Right? If I don't do the three responsibility for myself, you become a burden to your office mates, you become a burden to your family. Right? Now, self-sovereignty means I take care more of myself so that people will care to be with me. If people don't want to be with you, ask yourself, why? Why do they don't want to be me? They don't want to work with me. They don't want to associate with me. Why? So Raj Yoga, self-sovereignty, if I pay attention to yourself, I don't have to make effort to actually people get attracted to you. Why? I'll ask you your own experience. When, after a while of being a Raj Yogi, did you increase your friends or less friends in your life? Do you get closer friendship, real friendship? Or just people who come to use you? Come on. What's your experience? And the mere fact you're here, you must be liking to be a Raj Yogi, right? So did the quality of your relationship increase? Not only quantity, but quality? Okay? So you have quantity and quality of friendship, right? They like to be around. Of course. Okay. Or else you're not a Raj Yogi, right? Okay. So everything that we do, and I think the first thing that happens is they begin to see us as people who are responsible. They don't know what we're responsible for, but we know I'm responsible for my own feelings. I'm responsible for what I'm thinking. I don't blame. Isn't it? That's the indicator of being a Raj Yogi. You don't give the responsibility for other people to make you happy. Right? If you're still thinking that other people will make you happy, you're not yet a Raj Yogi. Your happiness is quite dependent on ourselves, right? So, somebody told me that, Miss Becky, why I don't encourage people to call me Sister Becky in the Philippines because we are Christian. They might think I'm a nun. I don't like that. They will always ask me, which part of the Bible did you get what you're talking? Okay. I always correct that. Oh, I'm not a sister. I'm Miss Becky. Okay. And I don't wear white outside. Not regular white like this. I always get off-white, you know, constantly with blazer, you know, something like that. Because I don't want to be associated with Christianity. They have a different concept of self-care. They said, give and give until it hurts. In the Brahma Kumaris, this is the case, right? Heal yourself, be well, and then start giving. Okay? But never take anything from anyone. Or it becomes what? A karmic account. Okay? a karmic account, isn't it? So, so when I talk about it, so, when I talk about it, human being, I have to take care of the aspect of this being, and partly it's actually my physical. Okay? Is that right? If you think about it, these are the aspects of my whole being that I have to actually take care of. Only one pertains to my body, and that's this, isn't it? Why? And everything actually pertains to the soul. One of the things that I discover as I do this, if I emphasize this in the workshop that I do, they begin to understand that your physical is not the least important, because most of the people work on this, right? For example, physical exercise, they're vegetarian. A lot of them are even more vegetarian than us because they're vegan and everything. But focusing on that, does it improve any part of this? Maybe a little. Okay, maybe a little. So if you think about it, and if I wanted to use, I'm actually talking as a person who actually do all the content, Brahma Kumaris content, to be able for people to understand that we are not a religion, but this is an education. Okay, and for me it's very important, because as I said, I don't want to be associated this would be a religion which is established. In the Philippines, Christianity, particularly Catholicism, is very much focused. Okay. So even with the teachers, one of the sisters there came to the Brahma Kumaris, and she was a professor in a Catholic school and grew up Catholic university and grew up with nuns. She thinks she wanted to be called sister. And I always say, don't encourage them. They might think, and they could fight you, that you're not teaching according to the Bible. So better avoid that or a brother, you know? Sometimes they call you a brother. So I always say, no, let it be that I am a miss, if you want to call me MS, okay? Or, you know, a mister. Or just call me Becky. Okay, I always say, call me Becky. If because I have gray hair, then you call me miss. Okay, but never call me a sister. Okay, and never call me anything. I don't have a description before my name. Okay. So if you look at this, then you begin to understand, and I always teach spirituality, I always teach self-sovereignty this way, which is really the Raja Yoga content in any organization. I always say, if you look at it, how many of this aspect of your being, of you being a human being, focuses only on your humaneness, that means a human. And they would say, well, I always like how I introduce you, human, humus, is actually body, right? And the rest, which is the three other dimension, is focused on what? The being, right? First distinction that I have to actually point out is we, particularly at this point in time, keep on focusing anything about our body except we never integrated it on focusing on our being. Right? I came to the Brahmakumaris as a human resource person already. I was a professional trainer. And it makes sense because even now, people are working hard. People wanted to get promoted. On the basis of kind of mental and this, but not necessarily this. And their appearance, how they come in, and how confident they can project themselves is everything about appearance. And everything you earn, you spend on this. Isn't it? Right? And the more you get promoted, you still have to pay attention to this. Right? But it's quite obvious, right? And when I say that, you work for this. Are you working on your mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being? How do you know? And I always ask them, please score. If 10 is perfect, a continuum, how would you score your physical well-being versus this? Would you like to do it now? Uh-huh. Okay, if you have 1 to 10, okay, if 10 is the highest and 1 is the lowest, choose any number as your score for any of this, for all of this, physical, now, at this point in time, 11th of March. Okay? Okay? You want to do that? Okay? I will tell you how I scored myself before I started addressing this. Okay. Do it a little bit. I won't see your score. Okay. But at present, how would you score yourself in terms of this, whatever age you are in Gyan? And then your score should give an indicator. Okay? That means to say, if I score 5, okay, for this, which is actually this. Okay. So what? I'm not yet a 6, number 5. What are the signs or the indicator that of number 5 for physical? No. Okay? If that is 5, and that is 7, and this is about 7, and because I am very into the routine of Amrit Bella after evening time, I could say, okay, I'm 8 here. Okay. So 5 plus 7 plus 7 plus 8. 14? 20? 14, 19 plus 8? 20 what? 27. So that's my score. I wanted you, because what's happening is, I thought I was healthy when I came to the Brahmakumaris, and I'm not a vegetarian. Right? I'm not a vegetarian. But in terms of my emotion, and emotion means, what is my indication that I'm emotionally mature? Yeah? What's the indicator? Or I'm mentally mature. This is not IQ. IQ is quite different. IQ is only one aspect of it. Okay. Then you'll be able to find out if that is your score, Okay, and this was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I might have to be there and then somewhere, and you can actually plot it. You'll be able to determine what kind of shape your well-being is. Okay. At this point in time, you can see an imbalance. But for a Brahmakumaris, what he wanted to do is to make sure that everything, the reason why I'm saying is self-care is not selfish. That is the very reason we came and become a Rajyogi. I didn't become a Rajyogi because I wanted to serve the world. No. It came much later. Okay. I came to Baba, I came to Brahmakumaris because I want to serve myself. Am I serving myself right now? Because automatically, if all of this are on the average, if all of them are, for example, everything is 6, which is above the average, right? And have achieved that after maybe 7 years in Gyan. What would be my impact on my family, my workplace, and everyone around me? What would be my impact? Again, when we came to Baba, very selfish reason, I want to become better. And yet, when I became better, did I have what kind of service am I doing? What is really service? How many of your center live in the center? Raise your hands. None? Only 2 of us? Okay. Are you healthier now than you started with living in the center? You came in all on 8. Okay? When we first became, we're actually somewhere in the middle, right? Okay. And then all of a sudden, our personality, our well-being shoot up a little bit. And then Daddy and the seniors saw some potential in you. And then got you and say, very good. You're in service. Okay, those of you are living in the service. Okay. If you actually ask yourself, have I become better? What's my indicator? I come in whole. I come in, my well-being is actually high. My total well-being, okay? When I come to the center, live in the center, did it increase or it diminish? Huh? Big question mark, no? Big question mark. We think we're very good. How far can we sustain that? Yes, particularly because we know and see it in ourselves. When you begin to actually share your own learning, it is not lecture. It is your living those things. Right? I don't have waste thoughts about you. I don't get upset when you actually have moods. Especially when you remember in the center, you're all living in the same house, eating the same thing, but you're all different personality, and sometimes you came from different countries and you're living in the same house. That's a big challenge. Unless you're really confident that my well-being, that I don't blame, I cannot live with that Australian because it's like this. I cannot live with this because there's so many do's and don'ts. I cannot live with an Indian sister because do's and don'ts. So what happened to your well-being? What is the measure also of our well-being is, can, before you isolated yourself from your low-key family at a certain point, right? Can you go back and win them back? That's another question. Because if you don't, I don't think caring for ourselves, we isolate ourselves to care for ourselves, and then we have to integrate with the bigger community, and you're not acceptable. That's the real measure of how well did you take care of yourself. So what's the manifestation that you're well being cared for and you're ready to go out? Do they like you coming back? Or do they hesitate dealing with you? I'm just actually sharing with you my own experience. All of them are meat eater. I have to go on a Sunday. Sunday is a good day for Christians to get together. What happens? Do I alienate them? Do I make them feel uneasy around me? Ask yourself. We can answer it. You have different things, right? What was the first thing that happened when you reintegrate with your own low-key family? Sometimes they're the last people to actually get integrated with us. They're great teachers. They're great in the centers. You go to your family, they said, who? Becky? Who? You know? Or I'm the eldest, and they say, who? My sister? Never went home. Rarely would come home. Never ate with us. I eat with them, actually. I don't eat their food, but I eat with them, right? But for them, eating what they cook is actually important. How do you deal with those things? You're protecting your physical, but the aspect is actually physical had to balance with your emotional, that they should not feel you're alienating them. It's like a circle. When I used to be sent to different cities, and I have to live with low-key people, okay. In the Philippines, it's quite difficult to say, no, I'll cook my food, right? So you have to find a yukti so that I don't destroy, because emotion is really part of being able to relate to others, right? So I don't also get forced to eat what they cook. Oh no, we know how to cook vegetarian. What is your requirement? I cannot tell them, well, I will only eat what a vegetarian eats, what a vegetarian cooks. That's an insult. I'm attending to my physical well-being. And in places where they're very hospitable, they'll do everything. And I'm living with them. Okay? How do I balance the ability to balance my physical requirement with my emotional reaction? And I'm the first Filipina teacher who live in the center. In fact, I'm the longest living in the center. I still have to integrate with my work. I used to work. And then I used to integrate with my family. First, my face should not change. Okay. And I always tell Daddy, how do I do this the first few weeks I'm eating with my mom, with my family, you know. I don't want to fully reject, you know. Eating meals, especially Christians, they have Sunday after all this ritual, they go and eat together, right? It's a special Sunday lunch, right? So how do I integrate? I have to protect my being vegetarian, but I have to also protect my relationship. In the outer aspect of that are all others. And that is the aspect of family, office, the general community. I'm still very centered into my well-being. But as I center to my well-being, I should not be perceived as selfish. That I'm only interested in myself. This is the challenge of self-care. How do you deal with this? Because Because that's the first thing they're going to reject. You have changed your religion because you don't want to eat to that. You've become very offensive because you've become very exclusive. Because the most obvious thing about being Raj Yogi or being BK is our food. We know that the importance, right? But it affects our relationship with people. It actually affects even the way they perceive me. You have, because there's nothing in the Bible that says you have to be vegetarian. And sometimes my aunties, my uncle would say, tell me, which part of the Bible says you're supposed to be a vegetarian? Of course, none. How do you do this? To preserve my own well-being in my practice, at the same time, I have to be of service to the others. They should not see me different. They should see my well-being as a plus in terms of their relationship with me, not a minus. How do you do this? Come on, you must have dealt with it. How many of you have broken this? The first relationship that you have to break is actually our family, right? Give me a suggestion. How did you do it? Here. I wanted to listen. Yeah, here. Because you have to... Yeah. I'm not a lecturer. I'm very practical. Yeah. So you have to tell me, and if I can add, I will. Here, you can just stand here so you don't have... So how did you deal with, you know, this aspect of dealing with your family? Were they vegetarian before?
No.
No, okay. So you're a vegetarian. You come in. So how do you deal with that?
Okay.
Give them yuk teas. Some of you might have some.
Okay. It was very problematic. Well, it wasn't being a vegetarian. Where I come from in Iceland, many, many people are vegetarians. And many people are vegans. Some eat only meat, are doing the keto diet. So we have a lot of different diets. But some of my family, they would feel the most rejected by me if I would not eat vegetarian food that they make for me. So, in some instances, like with my sister, she is just really happy that she doesn't have to make vegetarian food, so I bring my own. And that's perfect. And I bring enough to give others with me, so it's like a contribution. But then, with others, I have eaten their vegetarian food for Christmas, and I didn't feel one bit upset or sick or anything after, because I think at that point, at that time, I knew my choice was correct. I was with my family, and this was my very young son-in-law, and he really wanted to make me great Christmas dinner. And it didn't taste that good, but I ate it all happily.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Okay, thanks. What's your name, sister? Nina. Okay, so anyone? Sorry about breaking this barrier, because the first barrier is really with our families. Now, those who were vegetarian before know the only thing you have to refuse is that's even more difficult. But we are all vegetarian. Like, if you have an Indian background, right? Why can you not eat the vegetarian in the family? And you know, it's because that's impure, cooked by impure people. You cannot say that, okay? And that's more difficult, yeah? Because they're cooking vegetarian, no garlic, no onion, some of the, you know, that's, you know. But cooking for them, voluntarily, and then, as you say, as long as they required, no taste, and Baba sometimes says, eat with, you know, with in remembrance, you know? And, you know, everything will be there. Because what happens, you have to balance this and this. The aspect of our relationships. Okay. Any other? You know, Philippines is always a problem because maids, you know, the maids are supposed to cook for you. So when I have to live with other people, I always volunteer, I'll cook dinner. I don't eat lunch. Okay. I don't eat lunch because I always make sandwich for myself. Because when I go for invitation, usually I'm out the whole day because I'm doing workshop outside. But in the evening, the host family will have to, I'll have to eat with them. So even on the first day, they know I'm a vegetarian, and most Filipinos are not. So one of the things I have to know how to cook with taste, right? And that's what I practice. So what happens? I volunteer. If I have to stay there 3 nights, I have to really do cooking for 3 nights. I cannot have. Do you have new pots and pans? No, I cannot say that. Do you have a knife which is used only for vegetables? I don't can say that, right? So I would go, and usually in the kitchen, say, oh, talk to the maids what you need, Becky. So I go to there, which is your newest pan? I interview the maids, and I said, can you just separate that and clean it? When I come from the workshop this afternoon, I'll do that. Do you have, you know, what is your newest knife? Okay. So, and everything like that, no? And I said, and then my host would say, could the maids watch you? I said, okay. Right? So what I do is actually don't feel, you have to make them included. The inclusion is the aspect of this. Also, it's part of being spiritual. Not to be felt, you're judgmental. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because I wanted to protect my meals, I cannot actually hear. No, I have to. And I have to find yuktis to be able to integrate everything. I said, oh, no, you can actually ask the maid to cook anything, right? And they said, can they cook one vegetarian for you? Yeah, but I also cook one dish. So I can skip that other one. I can eat mine without telling them that, right? So usually what happens, they gravitate to my cooking, right? Because I always cook good food, right? Actually, for your information, I'm the first Kumari that came to the Brahma Kumaris. Therefore, I cook all to treat food. So I know how to produce big mass of food. Okay, and even before I came to Brahma Kumaris, I'm actually the main person who cooks in the family. Do you understand? You just have to convert it. And what happens is you have to be inclusive. You have to allow them to actually do a little bit, with a bit of compromise. And eventually what happened, for the 3 nights I was there, I cooked all 3 nights. Can our maids, we want to be vegetarian, Becky, our maids watch? I said, yes. Right? And therefore the inclusion is important to balance my physical need with the aspect of inclusion, which is really a spiritual principle, and the ability to be able to give happiness. And not to create waste thoughts, so that you can actually bound in terms of the emotion. You understand? I think that we have to integrate. Because we're creating connection. And therefore, I will have to prepare for myself. But at the same time, I have to be generous enough, not that they feel I'm actually judging what they're eating or how they're preparing. Okay? And then what happened is the next 3 nights, I don't have to listen to them. They listen to how to become vegetarian to me. From my own lecture, right? Well, how did you do this? How did you do that? And then one of them, she's a teenage daughter, she says, she never ate vegetable. Tonight she ate everything that you cook. You understand what I'm trying to say? It doesn't go one by one. It has to be integrated. Do you understand? This is self-care. As I'm caring for myself, I should never alienate anyone. I could have to be inclusive. That's what spirituality is, to include everyone. Not to be able to, not to judge them, but actually, the limitation is on me, the adjustment, which is really an emotional and a mental, quick decision. Okay, quick decision, how do I do this? How do I not compromise myself? The discomfort is on you. You cannot have to impose it. They should not treat you differently. Right? And they would say, we will never invite Becky anymore to live with us. We will not invite them, him, her, to actually do our workshop because she's always very picky about the food. Then I lose connection with others. By being a Rajyogi, I should be able to integrate without me being alienating others. I teach this to BKs because, you know, sometimes you can see them, what is this? What is this? You know? And sometimes they are the teachers who are actually judgmental of other people. How can they like to become a BK when you're so picky and you're constantly dissatisfied and they cannot please you? If they cannot please you, please them. Cook for them. Isn't it? Talk to the maids. You know? You understand? And usually in the Philippines, so Baba can save, the one who invites me keeps me in their home. Right? Which means I have my pots and pans in my bag. Okay? All my ingredients. But if I can cook for myself, usually lunch because they're not there. But in the evening, I have to cook for everyone. Then that's the time I have to think in terms of cooking for everyone. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But no BK should actually give the impression that you have to be treated specially. You're already special because God found us, right? It is us who have to make others special, feel special with us. Not to give them burden. That's one thing. Not to judge their food as it's not food, it's actually garbage, isn't it? To eat with them, you know, they're all eating meat and I eat there, and the smell is there. Some BKs say, you know, while eating in the table. Is that a BK? And then I would look at, especially if the person is actually another BK I brought with me, I look at her and say, don't do that. You're gonna, you know, you're going to make the whole family uncomfortable. So these are all integrated, isn't it? I would rather suffer than insult somebody else. Or train your nose to actually eat vegetarian, smelling non-veg food. The answer I'm trying to say, it's all the adjustment is on me, not on other people. Our presence should actually unify. Our presence should make things lighter, make people feel good that we are around, not make them feel, what a requirement. Or else we are not actually serving others. So that they don't touch the food sometimes, even though they're watching. Of course, while I'm cooking, I'm actually, Baba, you know, you have to be my company because all the maids are looking for my, you know, what I'm cooking. You know, just to be, and I think it's actually in a sense karma yoga. When you put Baba in everything that you do as you cook for them, as you actually do this, I usually, one of the things, since I became a BK, I usually bring my linens, but they don't know that. As soon as I get my room, I remove everything and then cover it, right? And then when I leave the room and I have to stay there two nights, I have to cover it again with what they gave me, right? Because you see, we are very sensitive with vibration, but you don't tell them, you know, that. That's your principle. They don't have to do it. Isn't it? Why are you making them uncomfortable? Because the impact of my well-being are everyone outside. Because if they feel alienated, then your spirituality is actually under assault. Because spirituality means inclusion. And your emotional is also under assault because they cannot relate to you. You are unrelatable. They can't build a relationship with you. Do you understand? I'm proud to be a BK. But you know, one of the qualities of BK is egolessness. Do I still have time? What time? Am I talking too much? If you have any question, I'll allow you to have questions, right? A little later. Because mealtime is storytelling. Right? Mealtime is always accompanied by conversation. Sometimes, it becomes easy to create a here and now conversation, and which is beneficial for them and I, if I talk about why I have become vegetarian. Did you change your religion? I said, no, I didn't change my religion. I just learned being vegetarian means this. Improve my health, okay? I'm actually a non-violent person, so I should not kill whatever I have to eat. So it's a conversation. Create a presence. Create a presence which is positive. Be in the present. Presence and presence. Okay. So how do I be in the present? It's actually to be in my presence. Okay? Two words that we have to play, right? Remember in the Brahma Kumaris, what is meditation? Meditation is creating a commentary that will bring you the present feeling of what? Of being at peace, right? Of happiness, or being pure. Okay. And so, and in the golden age, is there past, present, and future? Is it? No. So what is it? Will you talk about what happened yesterday? Would you remember what you ate yesterday? No. You're also still in the present. So if that is the case, how are you building at the confluence age those kind of present and presence? Every interaction should be a presence and presence. That means I don't have a waste thought about you if I did in the past and I'm still carrying it in the present, it won't work. If my impression of you I carry to the future, that relationship won't work, right? So I have to constantly build a presence. That means to say, you don't have a history nor I would judge you in terms of what I see. That is presence. I only interact with you at the moment. I may know your history. I may know, you know, all of the things about you, but I'm not going to bring it in my moment and then interact with you on the information that I have about you in the past. Right? So how do I carry on a conversation with low-kick groups? Only in the present. So we don't talk about history, we don't talk about, you know, disagreement. As I told you, once it's actually food, right? So, you can still talk about content, but you know, the result of our being self-sovereign is the ability to use the right qualities in terms to create the present moment. So P is for what? For patience. Now you can help me fill this up. R is for what? Respect. Regard. You can add more. E is for what? Come on, go back into your easiness. Okay, easy. Enthusiasm. This other one. If you notice, our presence is only built by practicing the virtues and the powers. I'm giving you a cue. Okay, so what are these? Okay, so if I wanted to be fully present, any of this I can actually practice any moment. I may be hearing something about, you know, a killing, but how I could be very present there, right? And people are mourning because somebody left, you know, the family just left the body. I could still be present, right? What is S? Silence. What else? Simple. Don't complicate things. Sincere. Stable. Don't be shocked. Because sometimes we get shocked by, you know, what else? Okay? Maybe we can put the other, okay? So, E, another E. Empathy. What else? Energetic. Enthusiasm is there. You can actually put it down if you like. N. Nice. Nice. Okay, but nice is not a virtue. How do you define nice? Nurturing. Okay, natural. Nice is pretending. I don't like the word nice in a sense. Newness. Good. C is what? Compassion. Contentment. And you can add more. And if you know the spelling of every virtue, okay, and appropriately, if I'm in tune to the conversation and to the relationship, this could play in any time. But the last one is constantly, we're not there to preach. We're there to share. Isn't it? You can have a content, which can be the past, telling stories. But you can create a presence when you are actually working on the virtues in action. Egoless. Sorry for my handwriting. Therefore, is self-care selfish? It's making sure I have something substantial to give and to share with my very presence in front of them. Isn't it? Whatever they're talking about. Sometimes they're talking about the most mundane things. Rather than saying, when will this end? Okay, be there and listen where you can actually put in an idea. And usually I win, in a sense, because they're talking about something which has happened in the past. It's actually part of their history. And I always think, you know, I will always be touched one way or another to be able to actually twist the whole story, even though maybe it's a tragedy. But then make them the whole experience of the evening or whatever it is into something which is engaging. I created a presence. Using these qualities, I created a present conversation. That's how we serve. Sometimes it's not a content first. You don't teach lesson one first. You actually act being the soul, the egoless being. Sometimes to teach a lesson one to a priest is not to teach lesson one, to actually act lesson one. Because they have all of this without losing respect and reverence, because in the Philippines they're very Catholic, they're always, you know, they always expect women. But since I know I will I don't have to prove anything. I just keep them company. I actually, whatever they want to talk about, I ride into it and then give it a twist so I can say something. They will always say, thank you. You know, come again, Becky. Have I served? Yeah. Have I enjoyed it? Yeah. So the more difficult the situation is, the more alienating some people is, the more I enjoyed it. Because I can play with all of those things. I'm playing with the jewels of knowledge. I can play with the virtues and powers. And what it will do? That's also self-service, isn't it? So self-service is not very far from serving others. So don't even think being a BK is difficult. It's the easiest thing. Because you can fit in any situation, you will leave them happy, they'll remember you. And when they are difficulty, they will always have to come back to that memory that you gave them as an experience. Or if they have your contact number, they will just call you. Isn't that service? It's at lesson 120. Now we're lesson 2. Now we're lesson 3. Now we're lesson 4. How do you act? How do you teach them karma philosophy? They bought all the vegetables that I'm supposed to cook, right? So give them a nice meal. I always tell them, you buy the vegetable, I will cook the best meal for you. What? Becky, what are the ingredients? Okay, this. Okay. After the seminar in the afternoon, okay, what time is the meal? 7:30, 8 o'clock. Becky, okay, said. Okay, who is the maid I can work with? Okay, then I list all of those. I didn't buy any of those things, okay? I cook something. The topic of the conversation in the evening is being vegetarian, right? You keep them good company. Don't you think I get invited again? I will. And if you're eating, and this happened with the Bishop of the Latter-day Saints in one of the cities in the South, and he said, Becky, you should come again. I said, yeah, invite me. Because I gave a talk in their university. And then they have a very nice house. Both of them are doctors. And they said, rather than putting you in, I never ask for a hotel. I would say, is there a place where I can, because I don't want also to impose anything on them. So I said, is there any place where I can, you know, stay? And doctor so-and-so. You can stay with them. So I stayed with them. Be with them. They have the rituals, the Latter-day Saints. Respect. While they're doing their prayer, you meditate. Should your face change? You should not. Some BKs, they go for service, they live in a very place which is not too comfortable. Because if you cannot make yourself feel comfortable in an uncomfortable place, you cannot be a Raj Yogi. You cannot claim the title of easy Raj Yogi. Isn't it? I should be easy anywhere. There should be no discomfort in my life. And I always say, I only give myself 5 seconds permission to have discomfort. Then I have to figure out how to become comfortable. Because more than 5 seconds, it becomes your sanskara, internal complaint. This is how we serve the ones who are not going to be BKs. At this point in time, there are no more. Very few BKs are there out there. I think we have caught out BKs, right, Binjay? Okay, maybe, you know, the last members of the Silver Age, you know. And maybe these are the religious leaders of other religions. Yeah, make them comfortable, get them, you know. This is what service we have to do. There are no more. We're it. And most of us, okay, and most of us are beyond, you know, we're all elderly, right? The reason why the world has to end soon, because I don't think we will last long, okay? And therefore, you know, I came when I was about half of my age, you know. You understand what I'm trying to say? They should also see it in our enthusiasm, you know, because in other religions, the older you are, you demand reverence and regard. The older we are, the more we should actually just ooze out or share your own presence, your kindness, your compassion, all of these things. Rather than expecting respect and regard, they automatically give it to you because they're so comfortable. And then the last thing that they will have to say, come back, when are you coming back? You know, all of these things, isn't it? And then service does not become difficult. It's actually exciting. Because for me, service is a practice of all the virtues and powers. If I cannot teach them Girak Giyan, then my Dharana should teach them. When your Dharana teaches them, then you can begin with content. We are not missionaries. Missionaries begin with a content, conversion. Ours is soft cell gyan, by your own embodying the qualities, the truths, the virtues, and the powers. And your face glow. And you can relate, and you can actually change the conversation from sadness into something good. You don't have to actually monopolize the discussion. Sometimes you just listen. But there is a kind of compassionate listening, right? And you can sense if you're totally compassionate. Compassionate listening is you're listening and you're actually, in a sense, feeling what is disturbing the show. You know? You don't say, this person is complaining a lot. You don't do that. I listen to be able to actually detect what creates discomfort in the soul. That's my duty as a VK. To release them from discomfort. To release them from what is holding them. To be happy. To be more peaceful. To be more loving. To actually enjoy the present life. To forget that when you are gray and, you know, and physically weak, that you are looking forward to your death. No. But every moment is a time to enjoy. So that can you create that enjoyment, your company, by using your presence? Am I making sense? Okay. Because this is how we are going to serve now. It's not the course anymore. Not 1, 2, 3. Sometimes it comes first. Vegetarianism is first. Make them like being vegetarian. Then they'll be, why do you have to be vegetarian? And he says, you know, because get into the scientific thing about the energy of dead flesh, right? That it, sometimes it upsets your physical and your mental cell and so forth. You know, don't be too, don't do this. You have to create friendship. Friendship is the act of love. To say that they are not different from you. They're just human beings like you. You were like them before. And you remember the time when, you know, another sister, your course teacher or daddy gave you so much love and attention that you got attracted. The reason why I'm a full BK right now. That is the memory, not the lesson. It's actually how the lesson has been the embodiment of the person. The first BK who actually influenced your life. That we have to do. The less picky we are, the less snooty we are, the less alienating our behavior, your face should not change. Whatever there is. And what I notice is even the kids, they begin to move around you. And then the parents would say, what do you do with them, Becky? They seem to like you very much. I said, I don't know. I would say, well, yeah, I don't know. They would go to the kitchen, you know, and look, what are you doing? Isn't it? It's your vibration. And vibration is what? It's actually embodying all of the qualities, all of the virtues and the power. No waste thoughts. This is my time to actually... For me, it is a time to practice putting into a practical form all the qualities, the virtues, and the powers that they have learned. Only then will they be interested. How do you meditate? You know, all of a sudden it comes out in the conversation. 3 nights there, by the time I finished, they said, so what is lesson one? You know, what is lesson one? Because virtues and powers is the sum total of all the lessons, right? And you're the embodiment of those. So how did you become that? They will ask, how did you become that? Question? Yeah. 10 minutes question. Anyone? Comments? You can share how you went through these difficult times. Yeah. Yeah, we came from there. Sometimes we forget we came from there. Yeah, because they're recording it. Come. Because they're putting it online. And translator also.
No, I'm just really thankful for your course because I feel this freedom that it's been a burden to have to judge the Iron Age so much and to have to judge others, to judge meat, judge alcohol, and I put so much energy into this judging. And now I feel free, and I'm going to stop it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Stop judging. We came from there. Maybe a little bit less, but we all came from there. We came from the Iron Age, right? And whoever is your teacher, whoever really took care of us, they're really just exercising their presence. They saw you as souls. And they saw me as one of that. And I always remind myself, this happened 5,000 years ago. This is my role every 5,000 years ago. I'm so intoxicated by that. At the end of the cycle, I am always on the right path. Isn't that very intoxicating? People are still looking where they wanted to go, where what reality they wanted to live. I'm already sure I will end. I will leave my body. I will, you know, the end of the whole universe, in a sense, will end. Okay? But I'm going to be in this. It's actually, in a sense, maintaining our intoxication as BKs. God found me. This is my destiny every 5,000 years, isn't it? Right? No regrets. And therefore the expression of it is whatever you can give to people, because we are serving all religion, we have to make sure that we did it well with our full presence. We're fully present. We look at their eyes. That's one thing about being present. You look at their eyes with no judgment. As I said, I always remember, no bad or good. You're just in a situation where you have to serve. That's what I like about the slogan of Baba. There's nothing good or bad. It just is. And if you're in that situation, you have to use that to serve. That's one of the greatest, slogan which I learned from the Brahma Kumaris. No judgment. Nothing right or wrong. You're just there at that point in time and your presence is needed. And to constantly be thankful of this Brahman life. How lucky are we so that that fortune have to be shared. And every moment takes the next moment. Do I like silence? Yes. But can I be silent in a crowd? Yes. Because as soon as they begin to actually ask questions, the more silent I become inside, because I said, keep telling Baba, okay, it's your turn now. Okay, if there is a question that I need to answer, I have to actually be in tune into myself and what Baba. And usually, what happens is I translate it. I have to listen to their question because every question has a character, And therefore, I have to be very in tune with that. I may not know the answer, but to be in tune with that is actually to allow Baba also to be there with me. And usually I listen. I listen a lot. And I wait for the time of silence in between the conversation. And I'm actually just talking to Baba. In that way, I can come in the best way I can. I don't even think about the solution. I just say, be with that person. Baba will actually touch your intellect. Because at the end, serving becomes easy. Because your presence creates and preempt the answer. And God could touch us, no? If we're very in tune into the moment, you know, of the using our qualities, the right answer comes. Sometimes it's not the words. But while the person is telling a story, this gentle drishti, they don't know that you're giving them drishti because they have become your friends. Okay. For women, sometimes even for men, they considered me as their brother. And when they're about to sob, you just come next to them and just, okay. You understand? So I think that is natural service. You don't have to actually be tired of it. It's actually magical in a way. Service is the magic of being the embodiment of what we learn. It's not difficult. Because if you are the embodiment of what the three subjects are, service is natural. Isn't it? It's the manifestation. I have become that which one God wanted me to become. I like this topic because I can teach it also to low-kick people. Because they said, how do you take care of intrigues? No? Just, I also make the word presence there. And they're all saying, that's true. So now I have given you the depths. Then I can teach them, how did you develop this? Well, I was telling you, because I usually have in the lecture every, you know, the jam, just a minute of Anthony and Sister Janti. I begin to use it every 6 slides. So that they can begin to tune in. You know, particularly I choose what is the best just a minute meditation depending on the end of 6 slides. You know, and in your workshop, sometimes I get a whole day, they usually begin to actually do it. And that's, I think, how we got the Caritas is the business aspect of the Catholic Church, right? And for the first time, they invited us to actually help Caritas manager to work out their team building. And they didn't go for a professional group. They said, can we use your center to team build ourselves? And we know you're a vegetarian because we want to experience silence, vegetarianism, to actually build a team amongst ourselves. See, this is, I think... analyzing it, this is really the end of the kalpa, and every religion, whichever is predominant in your country, is what we serve. We're very connected to Cardinal Tagle, who seemingly, if the present Pope dies or leaves the body, he is known to be the next Pope, and he's a Filipino. He's a very good name in terms of they call it the Prince of the Church. And we're very close to him because he's in charge of Caritas. And Caritas is using us. Now they're plant-based. So when they come to the center, they said, we want to try your vegetarian because we are now turning into plant-based. So then one of the priests said, it was never in the Bible, but we are now turning into plant-based diet. Okay. See, you can serve them now. Especially now they're encouraging because also of climate change. Now plant-based. You know, how do you grow your own vegetables and all of these things? See? So at the end of the kalpa, maybe one or two will emerge. Maybe we will give the bishop, you know, Cardinal Tagle, because he's very friendly with us. Some points which he will carry in the church. And yeah. So we don't know. We don't want to be planning our... or strategize, just be natural, create a presence which is loving and comfortable and powerful, then you're going to serve. You don't have to know the results, but you're enjoying the very moment. That's what present means. Enjoy every moment. And you don't call it service. You're just enjoying the moment. I don't want to use service anymore. I'm just enjoying the company of people. And help and actually sharing with them what I learned from the Brahma Kumaris. Okay? So I know some of you are going back. If any question? Any question? No? Happy? Okay. I'm here until I don't know what's when I come to Madhuban, I only wait for assignments. I came yesterday and I was sent a note by Dr. Nirmala and said, you have to take class. I just arrived yesterday. I said, okay, what's the title? Came and I said, title? I said, title? I just actually took a bath. And I said, okay, the easiest way is actually do something which I can actually, I'm talking now. That's with low-kick people also. We did it also for the police. No? So I said, okay, self-care. But sometimes we think self-care is selfish. No, it's the best way you can do. Because you can create your presence. With your presence, people believe that you're a good person. They believe your practice. They will believe anything that you will say. Because you are acting out what you believe in. You put it into your action, into creating a relationship, which is very comfortable and very easy. Okay, so as we sit, as we reflect on this, I'll give a little commentary for a few seconds. The Samjojo of well-being is actually what spirituality teaches us. To be fully aware, self-aware. Who is the self? The awareness of my qualities, my functions, and to be able to rule and use all of this to create my own life first. Spirituality is self-rule, self-sovereignty. To bring the best out, to bring out the best of which has been buried there for many ages, or for many years. The awareness of my own qualities. Not to be ashamed, not to talk about it, to bring it out in the way we create presence relationships. It's not important what we talk about. Sometimes to create relationship is just to be there. Listening, being with Baba and talking with Baba while I listen. To be able to create vibrations. Not my vibrations, but the vibration that comes from the truth, the source of truth, to create a connection with other souls. I have to use my eyes to connect. People nowadays don't want to look at eyes. But I begin to realize that being Baba's child, people are very attracted to our whole being, particularly to our face. and zero in the way we communicate effectively through our eyes. What we hear with both ears. Our eyes gives the feeling of comfort, of friendship, of connection, or even the presence of God. We don't have to talk too much, but the expression on our face, the tone of our voice, the ability to be totally there as you listen, as I listen, as I interact, the quality of that interaction, the people around me, and I too do forget time and create a timeless interaction, is true service. You or I may not see them again, but in a sense we have served them. It could lead them to find their own way to their destination, to whatever religion they belong to. Because religions are based on the quality of love, of peace, of happiness, of the virtues that we have learned. And it is rare to experience this in their own life right now. And I'm thanking God to be able, Baba, to be able to help me serve with my presence. Because I have created in my life God's presence in my thoughts, in my actions, and in the tone of my voice as I communicate the truth about what God teaches. This is self-care, which leads to care for others through service. And therefore, I have to be very, very focused on my care for myself. Coming to Madhuban is one way. You can be very busy interacting with other BKs. But every moment is a moment to validate, to be able to come back to myself and check what am I taking back to my service place. What if I learned about myself that I can use both for self-service and others? This is what Madhuban is all about. This is time for myself to examine how I could create further my presence in my workplace, in my family, and in the community. This is what service is all about. It always starts with serving ourselves as we come home to Madhuban, to pay attention and look back through the years, through the months, how did I enhance my presence to myself? And how did I encourage God's presence in my life? Om Shanti. Okay.